Sarah will present another talk.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you again. And following with the importance of field capacity and permanent wilting point, now we are going to talk about some alternative methodologies for field determination. So a quick reminder, so we have two approaches in order to get the soil water retention curve. So first we have obviously the direct determination. So we use commonly pressure plates, we have the data, and we feed them in order to get this curve. And also, if we don't have access to these methodologies, we can estimate it by petrotransfer function using basic soil properties in order to get the parameters for the feeding. And that's why and why it's so important, this soil characteristic curve commonly is an input for hydrological models. So we cannot possibly speak about petrotransfer functions without mentioning Rosita. So Christina also mentioned it before. This is a petrotransfer function that is able to get some basic soil properties and give us the Banken-Nashton parameters. So I would like to highlight that this is hierarchical, so we have several options for the inputs. And besides particle size distribution and bulk density, we have this, again, this field capacity and permanent wilting point data. So we need that in the Rosetta model with the highest number of inputs. And also, I would like to show you that we have the classic approach for getting this soil water retention curve, and that is using pressure plates. So we have, well, we can use the pressure plates for getting the whole curve or just getting these 2 points. And then use this 2 point in Rosetta and get the adjustment for the Banken-Nashton equation. And however, we have some alternatives. So in this case, we have the combination of two techniques. The first one is called the evaporation method, and the second one, the vapor pressure. So due to short time, I am not going to address deeply the how this method works, but I would like to show that the main difference. So because the first one has two tensiometers inserted into a soil core, and we have an evaporation process in order to get different structures. So in this evaporation works for the dry, for the wettest part of the core. And then we have the vapor pressure. So in this case, the process is kind of complicated. It relates the relative humidity of a sealed chamber over the sample with the pressure. In this case, it's kind of complicated, but this method gives us data for the driest part of the curve. But overall, I would like to highlight that this method doesn't apply pressure on the sample, in contrast to pressure plates. So that's the main difference. And well, we have this background. Also, if you were here in the last presentation, we have some questions about this new alternative for estimating these two water contents. So the first one, pretty straightforward, is if are the values of field capacity and permanent wilting point by these methodologies comparable to the obtained by plates? And the motivation of that question is, as well, as I said before, these values are input for Rosetta. Also, these values are reported in the Chilean Soil Survey. Also, if we want to compare these values with the old ones, we have to check if they're comparable. And also, at least in our country, these 2 points are commonly reported in the routine lab, so we don't have a lot of options. And the second question is if the determination of a complete soil water retention curve by these two techniques combined are significantly better than an estimation by Rosetta. So, and why? Because this estimation is still time consuming by these methods. And also, as I have said it, Rosetta estimations are based on different laboratory methods than the Chilean Soil Survey. Now moving on to the materials and method, we have the same methodologies here, and I would like to highlight that we have kind of some options for the use of them. So the first one, for the first one, we have two options for the soil handling. So we can use disturbed or undisturbed sample, and only we have one process for getting the core, so the drying process, because it involves evaporation. And for the evapopressure, we have only one way to put the sample in the equipment, so we have to put the disturbed sample, so commonly sieved. And we have two options for the development of the core. So we have two options, so we can or dry or wet the sample. And also, we have some options for the use of the equipment. So we can select only use the evaporation method or use them combined. And if we have the data by these methods, also we have different feedings. Obviously, we are going to use the Banking-Knudsen because it's the most common feeding for this curve, but we also compare the Brooks and Corey and the Kosugi feeding. Quickly, I would like to show you the samples that we use for this study. I would like to highlight that the texture in this data is loamy, so we have clay loam and sandy clay, so it's still a range of texture. And also we cover a range of water content from less than 10 up 40% in weight base or mass basis. So now moving on to the results and discussion. First, we have that the field capacity determinations show less variability than the permanent wilting point. So in the x-axis here, we have the volumetric content by the classic one with the pressure plates. And in the y-axis, we have the volumetric content measured by this new method. And, well, that says us that these results are very robust, so they are very trustworthy. And then for the permanent wilting point, we have more variation, as you can see. And I speculate that the explanation is that for the driest method, so for the evaporation methodology, when we are getting in the driest part, when we are getting more wet values, we are getting more error. So that could be the explanation that we hope you can see more variability in the wettest part of the driest part of the curve. Now we can see the results, but in a statistical comparison with the plates. So you can see the plates value here, and also again you can see the robustness of the measurements by this any combination of you that you can use, so any feeding or any combination of equipment. So it's pretty robust. And to the left, you have the permanent wilting point, and we have some, not problem, but we have some interesting results. So in the case when we use only the evaporation method, we don't have significant differences in comparison to plates, as you can see here. But when we include the data of the vapor pressure equipment, we have some underestimation. End explanation, and I will talk it later, is probably hysteresis. And also, we want to compare the feedings. I am only showing you the feedings by the Banking-Knudsen parameters. So you can see in the blue boxes the parameters based on the evaporation, the pressure by the vapor pressure methodology in the Banking-Knudsen adjustment. And the Rosita. So we're comparing what is the behavior of the curve according to these different approaches. And first we can see that for the end value and the theta F, or the saturation value, we don't have significant differences between this using Rosita or using these methodologies. But for the alpha value and the theta R, we have an under and an overestimation. Sorry, as you can see here. And, well, it's way straightforward to see what's happening when we when we can see the curves. We have the clay loam and the sandy loam in order to contrast two different texture class. And you can see that for clay, for the clay case, the Rusira always overestimated the real water soil water retention curve. And also we have this overestimation of the values at the driest R, is the driest part of the curve, so the theta R. And for the sandy loam, we still have this overestimation. It's not so marked as the clay case. And we can see also the difference in the shape of this part. Well, now I know that alpha is not the inverse of the entry value, but it's related with this shape. So in that case, Rusira is more straightforward, and the real data is more, the shape of this part of the curve is more flattened. So, in conclusion, field capacity and permanent wilting point determination by the evaporation method is equivalent to the plates. So, in our case, we can compare the data for our database and our new, we can compare our future values that we're getting in by this method. And also, the permanent wilting point showed underestimation when vapor pressure data is included and fitted by Banken, Knutsen, and Kosugi, so it's a warning for us, and then the next measurements will be trying the drying process instead of the wetting one. And finally, Banken, Knutsen parameter estimated by real soil water retention curve and Rosera show some differences, and the main differences are the alpha and the theta R. And I have to say thanks again to my government for the funding for this research and the travel. And also I would like to say thanks to the Kellogg Soil and Soil Survey Lab data, because they are providing a lot of examples and help with the R-Core for develop this plot. And also to the Soil Biophysics Research team. And I'll be happy to answer any question that you have. Thank you.
And he also got from new results. He made the new difference when he had a little capacity, that means the capacity is 2.5, and then the difference when he had more than 2.3.
Yes.
So I think that would be good to compare from both results by using the data.
Yeah, I have read about some comparison between the pressure plate and these both methodologies. But we were focused on the specific values. So for example, there another publication in 2013 that also covered this issue, but we were focused on exactly the difference between field capacity, so in that case it's PF 2.5, and also permanent wilting point at PF 4.2. So it's kind of a different approach. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think your question is very fair. So there are just 2 points. But we have our database constructed by these 2 points. So this work is focused on how we can complement these new methodologies and our database. So you're right. So my advice is, if you have this machine, if you can access to this equipment, go on and use it. But it's interesting. I think it's fair to compare these two points, because we wanted to cover a wide range of soils, and in that case we don't have access to them. So in that case we have our database, and we have to compare. We want to use that old data, so we want to recheck them and also make some recommendation about, I don't know, the process involved in the sample handling, or even correcting the data, I don't know. So, thanks for your question.
Thank you, Sarah.